I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Good morning to 10:09. I'm Mike Kelly. Welcome to Sports on a Sunday. Just 1 hour today. We've got Blues hockey coverage beginning at 11 a.m. Blues in Nashville, 11:30. The faceoff. As you know, weather playing a story. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. Alex Muskoff is our board operator and producer this morning. Coming up on the show, Gabe DeArmond for Power Mizzou. We'll talk Mizzou basketball. Also, the NCAA sanctions levied against Mizzou. He'll also talk football recruiting. Patrick Quinn is the chairman of the St. Louis Legacy Ice Foundation. He'll talk to us about the construction taking place on the new ice facility in Maryland Heights. We'll hear from Chris Kerber, Joey Vitale, as the Blues get set to take on Nashville today, and we'll also have the MVC report with Tom Ackerman. Let's go through the headlines, but as you know, pitchers and catchers for the Cardinals report later this week. Weather playing a factor for those that are trying to make their way to Florida this morning, including our own Chris Raby, who will anchor our coverage over the next several weeks from Jupiter. He's stuck at Lambert Field. Good morning. You've had quite a day. We'll get to Chris Raby here in just a moment. We'll go ahead and try to reestablish that line. Let's tell you that the Blues now, 5 and counting for the note Saturday in the matinee at 14th and Clark. The Blues took down Nashville by the score of 3-2 as Vince Dunn got things started.
Here's Thomas bringing it in, hitting the trailer, and the shot goes on. The puck is loose. They score! Vince Dunn chased the play down the ice. He found the puck off the pad of Rene. And he tucks it in, giving the Blues a 1-0 lead. 15:23 to play, first period.
Number 91 got number 19.
On the offensive zone draw, Blues win it to the blue line. Parayko slides it down low behind the net to the far corner. Here's Tarasenko, now to O'Reilly. Knocked it loose in front. Shen has it, centers Tarasenko. He scores!
It was 2-1 when Mackenzie McEachern closed the scoring for the note.
Steen clearing it out, too far for Bozak. Predators lost it to McEachern, who trickles it over the line on the near wing. And coming to get it in a 2-1 game, that's Arvidsson back in his own zone. Goes over to the far side, Thomas strips it, Blues shoot it on, rebounds are loose, they score! Mackenzie McEachern!
But the Blues don't win this game without the play of rookie goaltender Jordan Binnington.
And as Steen chips it up along the wing, it's clear to the line, not out. Hartman with a drive on. A lunging save from Binnington. And a tired Blues group late in the second period can't clear the zone. Hartman, the drive wide as it came to Ellis. Wraparound, Boyle, denied! Big pad save, Binnington. The puck cleared to center. Steen has it in the neutral zone.
Blues play in Nashville coming up later today. Other winners in hockey, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Buffalo, the Islanders, Boston, Ottawa, along with Arizona, San Jose, Florida, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Vancouver, and Columbus. Let's go to Chris Raby at Lambert Field this morning, trying to make his way to spring training into Jupiter for the next several weeks. It's been an adventure, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think maybe the ice got a hold of my phone there, Mike, but I was listening to Michael in the top of the hour news. And, you know, talking about the cancellations here and the issues on the roads, you know, I woke up this morning very early and looked out the window after hearing about the storms we were expecting to get. And I thought we were fortunate because I didn't see any precipitation coming down or any snow. But I took about two steps out of my apartment and fell right on my rear end. So it's nasty out there, as you know, and anyone else knows who's been out battling the roads. So I give a ton of credit to not just the folks working on the runways and whatnot here at the airport, but all the personnel inside the airport. Whenever there are massive delays like this, it's, you know, maybe a bit of an antsy situation, but everyone's handling it the best they can. And We are hoping that later tonight at about 6 o'clock we'll be headed out and headed down towards spring training.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Travel safe. We appreciate it. Chris Raby with us on his way to Florida from Lambert Field in St. Louis. In college hoops, Missouri's basketball team opened the second half of the SEC schedule with a loss to Texas A&M. Tigers led by 9 at the half, but were outscored 47-29 in the second half, losing 68-59 at Mizzou Arena. Mizzou now 11-11 on the season, 2-8 in the SEC. They'll host Arkansas on Tuesday. Freshman Georgie Bihanishvili set an Illinois freshman record, 35 points. The Illini hold off Rutgers in OT, 99-94. Illinois 9-5 and 5-8. They play at Ohio State coming up on Thursday. Number one, Tennessee won its 18th consecutive game, 16 from Grant Williams. They beat Florida 73-61. R.J. Barrett with 26. Zion Williamson with 18. Number two, Duke over number three, Virginia, 81-71. Gonzaga, ranked fourth this week, got 24 from Brandon Clark in a 94-46 win over St. Mary's. 10 consecutive wins for Kentucky. P.J. Washington with 23. The number five Wildcats beat Mississippi State in Starkville, 71-67. Other winners from the top 25, Kentucky wins, also Nevada, Michigan, North Carolina, Michigan State, Marquette, Clemson upends number 11, Virginia Tech. Kansas picked up a win. So did Purdue, Florida State, along with Texas Tech, LSU, and Buffalo. Iowa State knocked off by TCU. The 17th-ranked Cyclones lose 92-83. SIU Carbondale a winner. Kayvon Pippen with 18. SIU picks up a win over Evansville, 78-73. Paul Casey takes the lead into the final round of the PGA Tour's Pebble Beach Pro-Am, leads Phil Mickelson by 3, 15 after 10. I'm Mike Kelly. As news warrants, we will break and go to Michael Calhoun in the KMOX newsroom. We'll also have an update on traffic coming up at the bottom of the hour. Gabe DeArmond from Power Mizzou will talk Mizzou next on KMOX. A word of the day. It took me about an hour to get in this morning. So if you're out and about, just take your time. Go slow, take your time. Don't be in a hurry. But if you can stay inside, do so, and allow this weather to clear sometime after noon today. Well, Missouri went 0-2 this week in hoops. Tigers lose at number one Tennessee, 72-60. Tigers lose last night after they led by 12 in the second half, beaten by Texas A&M, 68-59. Gabe DeArmond runs PowerMizzou.com and joins us this morning on KMOX. That was ugly, to say the least, last night at Mizzou Arena.
Yeah, not the best effort of the season. I mean, the first half, I didn't think Missouri played that well. I just thought Texas A&M was dreadful. I mean, it was the same team that Missouri played in College Station, where not only were they not very talented, they didn't really appear to care. And then all of a sudden they hit a three at the end of the first half and made a couple shots and decided maybe they would care, and Missouri just absolutely fell apart in the second half.
Yeah, 51 points between the two teams in the first half. I said to someone, it might have set the sport back about 20 years.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was an ugly game. I mean, if you take Jeremiah Tillman and Mark Smith off the floor, I don't know that Missouri can beat anybody in the SEC. You know, maybe Georgia on the right day, but that A&M only had six scholarship players too. That just was an all around bad basketball game between two not very good teams.
Tigers now 11-11. They're 2-8 in the SEC. They host Arkansas coming up on Tuesday. Someone asked me this question last night. Is there still bad blood between Mizzou fans and Mike Anderson?
I think it's mostly gone away. I mean, I think it's been long enough that most people don't care that much. And also, he hasn't done that well at Arkansas. I think if he'd gone down there and done really well, Missouri fans would be more upset. But I've never quite understood all the bad blood. I mean, the bottom line is he's the best coach Missouri's had here since Norm Stewart. Mm-hmm. He left in a bad way. If he just would have faced us and said, "Hey, I'm leaving and taking the Arkansas job," I don't think the bad blood would exist. But the way he left, and then the fact that, you know, the recruiting kind of fell apart in his last year, as did the team, I think left a little bit of bad blood, but I think it's mostly gone.
Speaking of recruiting, football recruiting wrapped up with the spring signing period earlier this week. Your evaluation of the class that Barry Odom and his staff put together?
Overall, probably toward the high end of what Missouri would want to regularly sign. I mean, we had a 34th in the country. It's what Missouri's going to do. It's not loaded with 4- and 5-star kids by any means, but a lot of depth. They seemed to hit the positions they wanted to, did pretty well in St. Louis this year. Ultimately, obviously, it's going to come in a couple of years. But this was a little bit different recruiting class because all of our rankings and all that don't include Kelly Bryant and Sean Robinson, the two transfer quarterbacks who were probably the two biggest gets in the class.
Finally, Gabe, and we have to cut it short because of everything going on here in St. Louis with the weather. I hope you're staying safe in mid-Missouri today. But what have you been able to find out in terms of the NCAA sanctions, the appeal process, and might Missouri be able to turn any of those sanctions that have been levied against the Tigers football, baseball, and softball programs?
Yeah, I don't think any of us want to make a living trying to predict what the NCAA is going to do, but most people seem to say, you know, yeah, Missouri might get a little bit of it lessened or overturned, but this isn't just all going to go away where the NCAA comes in and says, oh, you're right, we messed up and overstepped our bounds, it's all gone. I mean, I think the best they could hope for is maybe get the bowl ban revoked and a few of the recruiting things lightened a little bit, but there's definitely going to be some penalty that remains.
Gabe, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, take care. Gabe DeArmond with us from PowerMizzou.com. And again, you can log on and subscribe to that source if you go on to PowerMizzou.com. There's an exciting ice project taking place, not ice on the roads, but a project involving four sheets of ice and hockey for hockey of all ages taking place in Maryland Heights. Patrick Quinn is the chairman of the St. Louis Legacy Ice Foundation. He joins us next on KMOX. I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday on News Radio 1120 KMOX. Still to come, we'll hear from Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale as the Blues get set to take on Nashville after St. Louis won its fifth consecutive game. Coming up momentarily, we'll hear from Patrick Quinn. But to the KMOX newsroom, Michael Calhoun's got an update.
Yeah, we brought you some of the traffic incidents that are out there about 10 minutes ago. Here's the exhaustive list, and this just popped in. 270 northbound, closed at Gravois, now tops the list. Here's the rest of it. Stalled vehicle 6440 eastbound past Maryville Center in the left lane. 6440 in Mid-County all the way out to 270 has been pretty dicey this morning. Stalled vehicle blocking the right lane. 44 west at 100 in Gray's Summit. That's exit 253. There's an accident 370 westbound past 270. Be prepared to stop there. I-70 in St. Charles County, both east and westbound, is closed past Cave Springs near Truman. 141 northbound reported to be closed at Manchester Road. 141 northbound past Old Woods Mill. There's something blocking the left lane. A stalled vehicle 141 southbound past I-6440. The right lane is closed. An accident blocking the two right lanes on 44 westbound at Elm Avenue. 270 northbound closed at Tesson Ferry. 370 eastbound and westbound are both closed at 270. There's an accident 270 southbound before Doherty Ferry blocking the two right lanes. Again, we just told you about this. 270 northbound is closed. Actually, this is at Dorset, so it looks like 270 northbound is closed at Dorset and is also closed at Gravois. The exit is closed 55 northbound at 255. And in Illinois, just after you cross the bridge at 64 as you approach Kings Highway, looks like there's a crash there. Also a crash on 6440 if you're going west and getting off on the exit to go north on 170, doing a sweep of the map here. 370 west to 270 accident there. So just really keep it slow out there and watch out for those inclined surfaces. That's what the Departments of Transportation tell us, Mike, are the biggest issue at this point, which is why there are so many incidents on these exit and entrance ramps.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 32 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. I'm Mike Kelly. This is Sports on a Sunday. Exciting new project. The St. Louis Community Ice Center is taking place in Maryland Heights, scheduled to open in September. The man who has been spearheading this new facility is the chairman of the St. Louis Legacy Ice Foundation. His name is Patrick Quinn. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great, Mike, and it's great to be here. And after listening to you and Mike Calhoun kind of run through all this traffic, I have a great idea. Everybody should just buckle down and watch some great Blues hockey. Puck drop's probably about an hour away right now, so just stay inside, folks.
that's a great idea. So let's talk about your project, though, Patrick, and it's scheduled to open up in September. We had a chance to see each other at the Board of Directors meeting for the St. Louis Sports Commission earlier this week. You are still pretty much on schedule, aren't you?
Yes, we are. And thanks to the dedication of the hardworking union labor here in St. Louis, we're still on target to open by September the 1st, despite all this wet weather we've had dating back to August. And, you know, we're going to have something here that is going to be truly unique to our entire country. And, you know, having kind of the new way of getting after youth hockey right here in our own backyard.
So you will tell those that will listen that there will be no facility comparable within 500 miles. Elaborate on that for us.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So we're going to have four sheets of ice at one facility, which there's nothing like that within a 500-mile radius. And, you know, with us being here in the heartland of hockey, being within a 5 or 6 hour drive of millions of folks out there and tons of hockey players, we're going to have a facility that will bring the opportunity for St. Louis to truly shine on both the youth, the and collegiate, and even from a professional side perspective, with a one-of-kind facility by having four sheets of ice under a single roof.
It's a $78 million project, just over that. Financing has come from state and local government, including the city of Maryland Heights, St. Louis County, and also the state of Missouri. The Blues have also been involved in the financing, Blues for Kid Foundation. There's been corporate support, also foundation support, individual donors. You still, though, need more people to participate. Elaborate on that for us.
Yeah, so we've had a great partnership with the Blues and Maryland Heights. And, Mike, this is a perfect example of what I love about St. Louis and being a native St. Louisan is this public-private partnership and getting everybody on board to make something happen. We've had a goal of raising over $16 million from private donations, corporate support, and some of our key tenants. And we're down to about the last $2.5 million that we've got to raise to bring forth the private side of the equation here. And we've done a phenomenal job, but we've got about $2 million left to raise before we get open in September.
Are there tax incentives for those that might participate?
Yes, it's a phenomenal piece that the state of Missouri has really provided us. And there is a 50% tax credit available to all donors, be they a corporate or even just a regular tax-paying individual in our community. So on top of their federal tax deduction, they get a 50% Missouri state tax credit, which means basically if you give a dollar to the facility, it's going to cost that taxpayer about 25.5 cents out of their pocket from making the contribution. So it's a very powerful tool that the state's given us, and a way for folks to get involved. I mean, with a donation as low as $500, they can get this tax credit.
Patrick Quinn is the chairman of the St. Louis Legacy Ice Foundation. Patrick, if I'm a parent, a hockey parent in St. Louis, why is this something I should be interested in?
Well, I think the biggest piece, you know, personally, is just the developmental opportunities that are available to their children through this great game. But, you know, as a hockey parent, we're talking about the chance to avoid one, two, maybe even three trips out of town each year that are not necessary. You know, part of the great development of hockey is going on a road trip, but you don't need to be going away every other, every third, every fourth weekend. So this facility means that people are going to come to us. So parents are going to be able to save money and stay as a family over the course of the weekend instead of traveling. So one of the things I say to them is, you know, think about if you just make a simple contribution to this project, you know, $500 or $1,000, you're going to help save yourself at least $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a season by avoided trips that you don't have to make any longer.
There are also, and every capital campaign has this, there are also naming opportunities that come along with this facility. Where can folks find out more about that? And maybe tell us about some of those different opportunities that are out there.
Sure. One of the easiest things to do to learn more about the project is to visit us at www.legacyice.org. Or if you just want to send us an email and get in touch with me, send it to info@legacyice.org. But there's, you know, a number of opportunities for folks to remember maybe a favorite hockey player, a favorite family friend, and, you know, things like naming some of the locker rooms, the benches, the penalty boxes, things along those lines. We're going to have a brick campaign eventually, but there's great chances to kind of pay homage to those in your family or coaches or others that have been important to you. And there's a great chance to, you know, have a living legacy brought out through their donation. And we want to celebrate, you know, all those that are able to step forth and make a contribution by, you know, letting something that's important to them be known somewhere in the building. A
couple more questions for Patrick Quinn. First of all, what has it been like for you working with Chris Zimmerman and the folks from the Blues and trying to bring this project to fruition?
Well, I tell you what, we are so blessed to have Chris and the ownership group that's led by Tom Stillman and includes a lot of other great St. Louisans. We've been through our bad ownership groups. We've had great folks like Mike Shanahan Sr. that own the team. And I tell you what, this ownership group has just been phenomenal. They have ridden through this project through thick and thin. You know, anybody that's been around in this project knows that we had our battles along the way. But like good St. Louis Blues hockey players, you know, we dug deep and we grinded out. And, we're going to make the Blue Note proud. And the Blues have stepped up in a way that, you know, is way beyond the financial gain that they're going to get with the contributions that they've made to this project. And it's a real testament to how much they believe in our community.
Finally, for you, why did you take on this project and what have you learned throughout it?
Well, I took on this project because the game of hockey has provided me with, I think, a great amount of success in life. And it's put me in a place where I've been blessed enough to be able to give up the last couple of years of my life to bring this forth for our community, our future generations, and to capitalize on us being such a great sports tourism market. You know, I mean, we just have been getting too many body blows over the last few years nationally. And I just saw that this was a great chance for what is so awesome about St. Louis to be celebrated. And the thing that I've learned is that, you know, we as a community have got to get behind, anything that's out there, whether you think, you know, Better Together is right or wrong. All I care about is the fact that we just need to do something different than we've done in the past. Now, we can't take inaction anymore. And this has taught me that if you have the determination, you have the grit, and you can share with everybody the gains that are out there for everyone in the community because of building an inclusive facility like this, good things will come. And, I think at the end of the day, I'm more positive about what the future of St. Louis holds, and I just hope that we'll all come together and figure out how to do something differently, because what we've done in the past is not going to bring us the success that we deserve.
Patrick, thanks for your time. Thanks for your efforts, and you're close to the finish line. Push it over the cross.
Thank you very much, Mike. Have a great day, and be safe out there.
All right, thank you. That is Patrick Quinn. He's the chairman of the St. Louis Legacy Ice Foundation. For more information, www.legacyice.org. Just about 19 before 11 o'clock. Blues hockey at 11 o'clock. Our pregame coverage with Alex Ferrario. We'll visit with Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale coming up next on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
It is just about 15 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. Blues hockey comes your way at 11 o'clock. The pregame show with Alex Ferrario. Play-by-play coming at 11:30 with Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale, who join us this morning from Nashville. Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Mr. Kelly. How are you, sir?
Well, doing well. You're just a little bit off mic right now.
How's this one?
That will work better.
Is that better? Okay.
That's better. How you doing today?
You know what? Not too bad. Looking forward to this one. It's kind of an interesting thing. With the Blues beating the Nashville Predators yesterday, you're still trailing them by 13 points in the standings. Sounds like a lot, which it is. But the reality of it is you look at it, and the St. Louis Blues have only two regulation losses more than the Nashville Predators. They've played four fewer games, but sometimes, you know, the perspective and how a season goes when you're in the middle of it and you're riding the up and downs of your team, it just gets a different feel. And then you look at it big picture, you go, oh, man, like, really, everyone thinks the Nashville Predators are this great team and they're a terrific team. And then here are the St. Louis Blues sitting there, which is two more losses than they do. It's really kind of interesting.
How much do you think that part of the struggles early, which they have appeared to have overcome, we're all just, you know, chemistry, getting used to one another, new faces in the room and things like that?
I think it had a lot to do with it. It had a lot to do with a lot of new faces in the room trying to figure it out. And then the expectations of this hockey team were so high that when those expectations weren't met and then some of the guys were stumbling out of the gate, it just added a whole lot of pressure. And Joey, you've been in these situations a lot. I mean, sometimes it takes a little while to get around to it, but it was confidence that was missing from this group too.
Yeah, I think confidence. You know, confidence, Mike, comes from, you know, winning and having success. Yeah. And at the beginning there, when they lost a couple of those closer games, and that's when the confidence started to kind of waver a little bit for this group. And, you know, to Chris's point, you know, I don't know if it was one of the issues. I think it was the issue as far as the chemistry. And, you know, I always refer to it, you know, whenever you get a new pet, you bring a new dog home to your already three dogs sitting home. Or let's say you're your parents' adopted child from Guadalupe. You know, whatever. You bring someone into the mix. You bring someone into the family. And not only does that one have to adjust, but then everyone who's been there has to adjust. And I think that's what we saw this year. You had Jaden Schwartz, first power play guy last year on the first power play unit. This year, he was bumped down to the second unit. I think for the first couple months, a lot of egos had to get put in check. And I think those egos have been put in check. And now that the guys are having some success and they're winning, it's been very contagious.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you, Mike. I never had my mom or dad bring anybody home from Guadalupe.
But you can imagine, right?
Yeah, you know, and I was going to say, you know, something. There's something deep down in his heart. There's something that just is troubling Joey that we just have to get to at some point. Maybe at a later date. We got to go to a weather update here in just a second. Hey, guys, Bennington's been terrific, obviously. As you look around the facility in Nashville, just out of curiosity, other than those on the ice, you see many Blues jerseys around there today?
Not a whole lot yet. No, it's still early. There's a good number that are kind of lining the ice waiting for the teams to come out here in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes for the morning, you know, for the pregame skate. So the Blues fans have traveled really well down here. The challenge is the Nashville Predators have put the Blues fans in Blackhawks categories where they won't sell tickets to them if you live outside the area. So you got to work a little harder to get them, but good news for Blues fans is they've been able to get them.
Yeah, I had a buddy last year that was told that he couldn't come in a Blues jersey. And so that was a little frustrating for him, as you might imagine. Have a great call. Our time is short. Weather, of course, playing havoc here in St. Louis. Have a great call, and good luck to the Blues today as they try to make it six straight.
All right, Mike. Thanks. We'll talk to you here.
Take care. Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale with us from Nashville this morning. It's been an abbreviated show. Still one more item to get to, and that is this, the Missouri Valley Report with Tom Ackerman.
I'm Tom Ackerman, and things are getting tight in the Missouri Valley Conference. This is the Valley Report on KMOX, and we had a big day yesterday. Again, Southern Illinois gets a win, knocking off Evansville. It was not easy, but again, they get the services of their big man, Kavion Pippen. He had 18 points, led five SIU players in double figures as the Salukis at home beat Evansville 78-73. Aaron Cook added 15 points for the Salukis. Sean Lloyd had 14, Armand Fletcher 13, Eric McGill had 12. Cook also had 7 assists for the Salukis, and Lloyd posted 8 rebounds as Evansville loses the game and falls to 4-8 in Valley play. Southern Illinois evens things up now at 6-6 and plays Drake at home on Tuesday. Evansville will play Missouri State at home on Wednesday, and things are definitely getting interesting in the Valley. Yesterday in the Valley, it was SIU winning again over Evansville. The final score was 78-73, and Drake, the aforementioned Drake Bulldogs, win again. They beat Northern Iowa 83-77 at home, and they do it with 22 points from Nick McGlynn. A blowout win for Bradley over Indiana State. The Bradley Braves explode for 96 points and beat Indiana State by the final of 96-67 in Peoria, and Darryl Brown had 26 points in the win for the Braves. The games today will feature Missouri State at home against Illinois State, and Missouri State is hot right now, coming off a win at home over SIU 65-59. They now play Illinois State, a team that was picked by some to win the league. They've kind of fallen back a little bit after beating Loyola at home a week ago. They've fallen back. We'll see what happens, but Missouri State is hot right now, playing a good defensive style under Dana Ford, and a 3 o'clock tip-off on ESPN3. Loyola, the Final Four team from a year ago, will play at Valparaiso, so a battle of Chicago-area teams tonight. A 3 o'clock tip, so this afternoon. And that game is on ESPNU if you want to catch it. Loyola at Valparaiso. The Ramblers are right now at the top of the standings in the Missouri Valley, barely. They have a 1-game lead over Illinois State. Loyola's 8-3 in the league. Illinois State is 7-4. Drake, with that win, improves to 7-5. So they're in third place by themselves for now. But can Valparaiso get a win? And if they do, they'll be 7-5. They're 6-5 right now, tied with Missouri State for fourth in the league. Missouri State at 6-5. Barry Hinson's SIU Salukis improved to 6-6 with their win yesterday, and Bradley now vaults to seventh in the league at 5-7. They're out of the cellar, and they're tied with Northern Iowa with a 5-7 record. The two worst teams in the league right now would be Indiana State and Evansville. Those longtime rivals are 4-8 each in the league. There's still a lot of basketball to go, and we have a very tight Missouri Valley Conference standings. standings, as you can see right now, after the games yesterday, three yesterday, and two later on today. We will have two games on March 7th. Those are play-in games, and you kind of want to avoid being the bottom four. It's very difficult. In fact, no Valley team has ever won on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to win the league. So you want to get out of those Thursday games if you can. At Enterprise Center, they will be hosting the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament once again, and we'll have those two games on Thursday night, March the 7th. Then on Friday the 8th, the quarterfinals. Four games. They start at noon and run into the evening, and it's an absolute thrill. It's always great to see Missouri Valley Conference basketball up close. Highly recommend you go to archmadness.com or get the Arch Madness app and check out all of the ticket discounts and the availability of seeing college basketball up close. Now remember, the winner of this tournament goes on to the NCAA tournament and possibly the Final Four. Loyola did it last year. Could they do it again, or could someone else in this league surprise? This has always been a league of surprises. Wichita State made it about 6 years ago to the Final Four and then became a powerhouse in college basketball. And Illinois, it's Loyola right now, getting a lot of attention in the city of Chicago, coming off a Final Four season with Sister Jean and all of the excitement and the storylines. It really surrounded the Missouri Valley Conference, and we'd love you to be part of it. Go to archmadness.com and see these teams. Pick one and run with it, or go see your school. Let's hear more about Arch Madness. I'm Tom Ackerman for the Valley Report on KMOX.
It begins here, a tradition all its own, the 4 days that start the madness. This is the Valley. This is St. Louis. This is Arch Madness. The 2019 State Farm MVC Men's Basketball Championship returns March 7th through 10th at Enterprise Center, presented by Fox Sports Midwest. For tickets, call 800-745-3000 or visit archmadness.com. Since 1907, the Valley runs deep.
I'm Mike Kelly, wrapping things up on sports on a Sunday just after 10:55 in St. Louis. Can you believe it? It has been 30 years since Dan Kelly left us. Of course, Dan Kelly left many, many memories for Blues fans, including this one with a guy named Hull in 1988.
Steve Duchesne flips a high one in. May out of the net. Knocked it down. Now comes out of the goal and flips it into the corner. And it's Roberts getting it ahead to Gilmore. Gilmore racing in, has a breakaway. Has Cavallini with him. Alonso, now Brett Hull, took, he scores! Brett Hull on a rebound. Gets his first as a member of the Blues. And the Blues take a 1-0 lead.
Dan Kelly, Brett Hull's first goal back in 1988. I had a chance to work with Mr. Kelly during my early days here at KMOX. And I must tell you that Alex Ferrario, he was a gentleman. He was a guy that treated you just so well, and a guy that set the standard for how the sport should be broadcast.
Yeah, I wasn't blessed to obviously be alive when he was calling games, but I did listen to his broadcast growing up of highlights, and just unbelievable how he could paint a picture of a hockey game for you so smooth and get you involved in the game so quick.
And you know what? He was terrific announcing football, too.
Yeah.
Hey, have a great pregame show.
Thank you,
Mike. That's Alex Ferrario. Blues hockey coming up from Nashville. The Note trying to make it six straight. Our thanks to Alex Muscoff. I'm Mike Kelly. Be safe out there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.